Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Exactly 40 years ago, on the 4th of April 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. At the time of his death, this Baptist pastor was 39 years old and had dedicated his entire life to the defense of human rights. But let's listen to his voice once again, 40 years on.
One day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Martin Luther King was leader of the African American Civil Rights Movement, a man who had a vision of a world where the dignity of the human person be respected, and indeed a passion for building peace and harmony, employing non-violence as a means of reaching that end, despite the violence he himself had personally endured. All qualities recognized at a universal level 2 years before he died, when he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and recognized perhaps by those who killed him. Assassins who evidently couldn't tolerate that respect he had for different universal religious and cultural backgrounds. His is a legacy still alive today, as he continues to inspire countless men and women to work towards greater justice, equality, and fellowship. Let's listen now to an excerpt from one of Martin Luther King's most famous speeches in his campaign for civil rights and equality.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
That was Dr. King's dream. But what not everyone knows is that for this dream, he drew inspiration from the Mahatma Gandhi, visiting India in 1959 to engage in a more in-depth understanding of the philosophy of non-violence this Indian had preached and practiced. Little did Dr. King know at the time that he too, like Gandhi, would encounter a violent death. As we all know, in fact, Gandhi was assassinated in 1948, exactly 20 years before Dr. King.
I was with Dr. King in Memphis on April the 4th when he was killed.
The voice of Reverend Jesse Jackson, a close companion and collaborator of Dr. King. For over 40 years, he's played a high-profile role campaigning for peace, civil rights, and economic and social justice. Speaking on one occasion to the United Nations during a ceremony to mark the 50th anniversary of Gandhi's assassination and the 30th of Dr. King's. It was 1998.
Dr. King would often say that moral leaders of substance don't follow opinion polls. They mold opinion, not with their guns or dollars or position, but with the power of their souls. These leaders were counterculture revolutionaries. We see soldiers and people of violent means in revolutionary terms. But if the society says resolve conflict by buying and killing, dividing and conquering, then to change people through the power of rightness and reconciliation, that's counterculture. Countercultural revolutionaries. Our challenge today is not to do the easy thing, which would be to admire Gandhi and King. To admire them is to wear trinkets around your necks and to put their pictures and busts in your libraries and your studies. It takes no risk to admire them. The risk comes in following them.
In the most difficult hours of your struggle for civil rights amidst discrimination and oppression, God Himself guided your steps along the way of peace.
The late Pope John Paul II, too, praised the figure and work of Dr. King on many an occasion. One of the most famous, perhaps, was in September 1987, while he was on a pastoral visit to the United States and met with a group of African-American Catholics in New Orleans.
Today, as we recall those who, with Christian vision, opted for non-violence as the only truly effective approach for ensuring and safeguarding human dignity, we cannot but think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And of the providential role he played in contributing to the rightful human betterment of black Americans and therefore to the improvement of American society itself.
It was therefore appropriate that we decided to link Grandfather's 50th anniversary with Dr. King's 30th anniversary and call it the season for nonviolence. They had that spiritual link.
Arun Gandhi, the grandson of the Mahatma who founded the M.K. Gandhi Institute for Nonviolence, based in Memphis in the United States, which provides training and education for a variety of programs, projects, and events focused on the theory and practice of nonviolence and the issue of peaceful conflict resolution. He too addressed the United Nations on the theme of nonviolence. Let's listen.
Today, we not only are here to commemorate the life and work of my grandfather, but also the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who continued with the legacy that grandfather left behind. And both of them had a dream. They shared the same dream that if we make an attempt, we can achieve a world where peace and harmony can prevail. They dreamed that there would be a time when we would not identify ourselves by the color of our skin or the race that we belong to, but that we would be able to look upon ourselves as human beings and brothers and sisters and respect each other. And we can do this if we learn to forget the differences that exist. Grandfather used to say that relationships can be built on four principles: on respect, understanding, acceptance, and appreciation. And when we learn to build these relationships on these four principles, we will be able to create a world of peace and harmony.
Meanwhile, as the United States is getting ready to welcome Pope Benedict XVI on Friday, 18th of April, is scheduled to address the United Nations, events to mark the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King are taking place across the nation. Who knows if Pope Benedict will remark on the legacy of this great man during his pastoral journey to the United States. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.